Football finally cracks the national top 25. Soccer, both men and women, cruise in the playoffs, and basketball gets their season underway. Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter. We're here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Doing good, Cohen. Big win the other night, so can't complain about that. And then this weather we got today, November 7th in Nebraska, and it's like 50 degrees and sunny.
It's out of nowhere, really out of nowhere. It's exciting stuff, exciting, much like the finish. I know our guys had an amazing finish, but both soccer teams had huge wins. Why don't you break down the women's for us first?
Yeah, so we just had one game for the women this week. This game coming on Saturday for the women, their first round of the GPAC playoffs. So this one would be the quarterfinal against a team they played quite recently, College of St. Mary. If you remember back a couple weeks ago, we talked about that game.
That's right.
A tale of two halves in that game, and it was very similar in this one, except kind of flipped.
Okay.
So the first time they played them a couple weeks ago, they ended up scoring four goals in the first half and then went scoreless in the second for a 4-0 win. This one, they flipped the script 0-0 going into halftime, then they put three on them in the second half.
That's what we said would happen, right?
Last week,
we were saying that maybe they would they lost the second half the first game, so they were saving it for this one.
Yeah, definitely. And you could argue they lost the first half in this most recent game. I'd say it was a pretty even game chance-wise. We definitely had the bulk of the possession stats. Better passing, better build-up, but they looked threatening on the counterattack a couple times. Remember, one of their players almost scored, actually, for them. It was a cross in. Our goalkeeper came to kind of block the cross. She got a hand on it, but then it bounced off one of our players and bounced to their girl.
Oh, my goodness.
About 6 yards out from goal, and she blasted it over the open goal.
Yeah.
So we kind of got let off there. We're able to go into halftime 0-0, and then we ended up getting the breakthrough. About 13 minutes into the second half, Mirosa Jelenswan, she scored the opener off a corner from Kirsten Garner.
Of course.
So Kirsten getting her 11th assist of the season.
Yep.
I believe Rosie got her fourth goal of the year. Move on about 11 minutes later, and Garner once again is driving down the end line. She crosses it in to Andrews, her partner in crime.
Surprise, surprise.
For her 8th goal of the season and Garner's 12th assist. And then for the final goal, it was a long through ball from substitute Sierra McElhinnon. Guess who got on the end of this long through ball?
Probably Kirsten Garner.
It was Kirsten Garner for her 20th goal of the season to seal the game.
Wow.
3-0. The women are moving on.
They're really clicking at the right time. I know we said this earlier, but it really seems like they've been playing their best soccer recently.
Definitely. And that makes it 9 wins in a row.
Wow.
Unreal.
In soccer? That's crazy.
Yeah, no ties. Unlike the men.
Unlike the men.
No losses.
They're 9-0.
Over their last 9 games. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy. From being last in the conference.
They were last at one point in this season,
man. At least tied for last with, like, Waldorf and a team you don't want to be tied with in anything.
In anything. Yeah, they're getting ready for basketball season,
yes,
I think.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. definitely are.
They're willing to flush the fall.
Yep, for sure. But, yeah, so they had a – our girls had a really nice game against St. Mary. They're now looking forward to, actually, tonight. We're recording this on Thursday, November 7th.
Yep.
And they are going to play tonight here at home.
Friday Night Lights.
Yep, against Thursday Night Lights.
Thursday Night Lights, there you go.
TNL.
TNL.
Thursday Night Lights.
Yeah.
I like it. So that is going to be against Dort. And if you remember back to that game, September 21st was the first meeting between the two teams. Dort ended up going up 2-0 on our girls, but then they came back to tie it 2-2.
There you go.
In the last 10 minutes. But then, unfortunately...
Yeah, I think I remember this.
Yeah, we had the ball in their box with about 15 seconds left to go.
Yep.
Looked like it could have been a foul, a penalty.
Was there a red card in that one, or am I thinking of a different game?
There was no red card in this one.
Okay.
But there was shouts for a penalty.
Yeah.
All of our girls were saying that it should have been a penalty. The referee didn't call it. Our girls, I guess they shut off for a little bit. You know, 15 seconds left to go. You don't want to shut off at that moment because then Dort took the ball, went the other way, and scored with like 2 seconds left on the clock.
That's insane.
It's brutal.
That's insane.
So I think our girls will definitely want to get some revenge in this one.
Yeah, that's going without saying. And this is really a different team.
Oh, definitely.
This is really a different team than that team we saw early August, early in September. This is they're playing a different brand of soccer.
Absolutely,
right now.
And Dort came in with a good game plan in the first game. They had a really fast girl, fast and physical girl, to kind of follow Kirsten around wherever she went.
Yeah.
So they neutralized her for the most part. She was still able to get some chances but wasn't able to convert. I think in the form she's in right now, she'll be even scoring those chances she didn't get or she didn't score earlier in the season. And I think we have so many more threats now. We've kind of figured out Kirsten's not the only one who can score goals. She can still do it and do it very well, but we have other attacking threats as well. So that's going to make Dort have to maybe not put all their defensive focus into just stopping Kirsten.
And they can't surprise you with a game plan now. We talked about this a little bit last week too, but it's different seeing a team for the second time because you've already got that film. And, you know, Dort obviously they're going to come in with a game plan. We're going to have a game plan for them too, but it's not like you can play the same trump card.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes if you play the same team twice, it's better to be on the losing end the first time because when you win, you think, do we stick with the same game plan, or do we try something different?
Yeah.
If you try something different, you run the risk of it not working, and you look silly because you already beat them once, and then you changed it.
Yeah.
But then if you run the same thing, the other team has film on you, they're going to change something.
Yep.
And you don't know what's going to happen.
And the stakes are higher now.
Much higher. I think I like our chances tonight. We'll see what happens.
That'll be a good one. That'll be a good one.
Definitely. But speaking to a team that is probably going to win most of the rest of their games.
Yeah.
Hopefully all the rest of the games.
Let's hope so. The goal is to win the last game of the season, right?
Let's talk about volleyball.
Volleyball, they finished the season with a 10-game win streak, which is it's crazy. Again, like that women's soccer, like a 10-game win streak is amazing in volleyball, but they had a 9-game win streak in soccer. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's insane. But they finished the season strong, 10-game win streak. They didn't lose an entire game in October. Hopefully they won't lose an entire game in November, but time will tell. The last game of their season came Tuesday, November 5th, at Midland. This was number 22 ranked Midland, so a decent team. We talked about this in the last episode. A bit of a ramp-up game before heading into the playoffs. You start getting some of that playoff-level competition. They beat Midland. They win it 3-1. They only dropped the first set, so that improves the final record to 22-2, 15-1 in the GPAC, number 2 overall in the country. Concordia, it was a bit slower offensively. Concordia only hit 192 as a team. But this is one of the most hopeful things that I think that you have building towards the postseason as a volleyball team. And every time, you know, I'm working a game, or every time you watch one of Jake Knabel's postgame interviews with Ben Bolt, he's always saying that he really wants to own the net. And that's something that I think is a little bit of kind of like the ace up our sleeve a little bit for this volleyball team, because when you look at the big stats, it's the hitting percentage, it's the points per set, and they're just dominant, right? Near the top of the GPAC, some of the top numbers in the country in that regard. But recently, what we've seen is these insane blocking numbers, and we've just been physical and big at the net. This time versus Midland, it was 17 blocks as a team.
Wow.
Which is one of our better numbers on the season. And then again, this is a good number 22 Midland team. And then offensively, you still have the heavy hitter. Ashley Keck had 17 kills. She hit 294, and she had 4 blocking assists. So again, just doing everything, and she's really been the cornerstone of the team this season. But as I said, that is the last game of the regular season. So just to wrap things up, I threw together a few fun stats, just putting a summation on the 2024 Concordia volleyball team. So as for our individual leaders, Ashley Keck obviously stands out. She finished third in the GPAC overall in kills per set with 3.48, and she finished first in Concordia on the total number of kills. She was the kill leader. Gabby Nordiker had a really good season. So obviously earlier on, she had that huge record where she was moving up in the leaderboards, and she has, you know, it's like top 5 in kills, top 5 in blocks in program history, which is huge. But she also finished second in the GPAC in blocks per set, which was 1.36, and she finished fifth in the GPAC in hitting percentage.
Wow.
Which I think is kind of like, you don't really recognize, like when you think of her, it's like it's the blocks and it's the presence of the net.
Mm-hmm.
But that's huge, a huge hitting percentage there for a team that hits some of the best, has the highest hitting percentage, one of the highest hitting percentages in the GPAC.
I mean, you think we have so many players with such high hitting percentages, to see her in the GPAC, you know, we kind of spread our kills and hits around the net, you know,
yes,
a little bit. We got a lot of girls who can hit really well, so it's crazy to see her in the top of the GPAC, for at least up there in the top for kills and blocks, and everything at the net, she's killing it.
She's just a Swiss Army knife, and it's awesome to have those players in any sport. And then as a team, Concordia finished second in the GPAC in points per set with 17.8, and they finished second in the GPAC again in hitting percentage at 240. I'll give you one guess as to who we are second to in both those categories in the GPAC.
I am going to guess Northwestern.
It's Northwestern. That we said this last year. We may have jinxed it, but we'll say it again this year. Maybe. I'm knocking on wood as I'm saying this, but that if it comes to fruition, that'll be an exciting championship game.
That'll be a really exciting game.
That'll be an exciting championship game. And also Concordia, we're talking about the ace up the sleeve. They finished third in blocks per set in the GPAC this season, so just a really all-around good team. They finished the season on a 10-game win streak, and a little bit of history, that 15-1 conference record, that's a program record. Their only loss this season was to Northwestern. The previous record was 14-2, which was set last year, so a new program mark for most conference wins in a season. Nice. So that's awesome. That's awesome.
Keeping the dynasty going up, setting more records.
Yeah, keeping the dynasty going up. So that was the last game, and they have that we were waiting for this, and they finally dropped a couple of days ago. They dropped the GPAC championship bracket. The next game for the Concordia Bulldogs will be a playoff game. GPAC quarterfinal round versus Dakota Westland. Dakota Westland, who's 13-5 on the season. They have a 7-9 GPAC record. That'll be out on Saturday at 5 p.m. in Seward. There's no football game to distract you, so everyone should be there showing up for the Concordia volleyball team. They have played, obviously, conference opponent, so they have played once before this season. That matchup was on October 5th. Concordia won 3-1, and that was kind of an interesting game. Again, October, so early October. This was before or just right after that Northwestern loss, actually. And we saw this was more the traditional Concordia team where they doubled the hitting percentage of Dak West. It was 261 to 108, so more than doubled it. But Dak West did outblock Concordia 8-5 as a team, so it's going to be interesting to see how those dynamics change going forward, how the teams have developed going forward. Obviously, you like the matchup, but it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. Now is not the time to get complacent.
Definitely not. And I don't know exactly how national qualifying works for the women. Are they qualified already for nationals? Do they give the at-large berths?
So, yeah, I'm not sure. I know that, obviously, your guaranteed ticket is winning the tournament.
Right, that's how it is for all sports in the GPAC. You win your tournament, you're getting into nationals.
Or in some sports, if there is no tournament, you just are the crown, the conference championship by the end of year record.
Right.
But obviously volleyball, you have the GPAC tournament, so it's big, and it kind of stinks, and you could say this about any sport, but GPAC is a very good conference, and a lot of the times, the teams that we would be facing on the national stage are already in the conference with us, and that is certainly the case with us in Northwestern.
Definitely. You'd assume if volleyball gives, you know, the wild card berths, our team is pretty much in it. Like,
yeah.
If you give wild cards, you give the number two a wild card, regardless.
Barring a massive upset in the coming weeks here. And that's I believe what happened last year. Is we were second, I believe, in the GPAC tournament.
Yep.
You end up making the national tournament, so it's not like you need to win it. Our record does a lot of talking for itself.
Definitely.
In the regular season. But again, it's just been that Northwestern has been that one thorn in our side for these past few years here, and it'd be awesome to get that GPAC conference
championship.
Absolutely.
You'd hope, you know, they're already qualified for nationals, we're thinking, so maybe that a little less pressure on them. They don't need to win these games to qualify, so they can go out there and just play kind of free, just enjoy themselves, and hopefully get a good shot at Northwestern.
Hopefully, we get a chance at the king you better not miss, and that's what we're going for. But talking about shooting for conference championships, playing in the championship tournament, how did men's soccer do in their latest contest?
Men's soccer, we kind of reverted back to what we've been doing.
Oh, no.
So we ended up technically getting the win in our first round of the playoffs on Tuesday. Our election night matchup against Briarcliff.
Yes.
But it was in a penalty shootout, and a weird little quirk of soccer stats. Whenever you go to a shootout, they count it as a tie in your record, no matter what the result is.
You couldn't even get a decisive decision on election night. You tied on election night.
What could be?
I mean, that's just been the story of this team this season, the ties.
That is.
But you finally won a tie.
We did win the tie.
Somehow we won
the tie. That's what the stats
say. That's
we
awesome.
Won the tie.
That's awesome.
Our ninth draw of the season, but honestly, we couldn't be happier about a draw. Because this one keeps us moving forward to the rest of the GPAC tournament.
Yes.
It was funny because we actually tied Briarcliff 1-1 the last time we played them. Tied them 1-1 this time. Went through 20 minutes of overtime, and then finally beat them in the shootout.
Yeah. Wow.
It was looking a bit rough at certain points throughout the game. We conceded with about 7 minutes left in the first half, just a little mistake in the back. Their striker got on the end of just a loose pass from us and finished it well. And then it took us until 15 minutes left in the game in order to get our equalizing goal. You know, the coaches on the sideline, they were cooking something up on their whiteboards, you know, talking to different players like, hey, we're going to switch to this formation and we're going to put you here and here. And as they're doing all this, Ferdy Hagen, he gets on kind of a loose clearance from Briarcliff around midfield, dribbles around two guys, gets to the edge of the box and hits it left-footed into the bottom right corner. And we all go nuts, of course, and he celebrates and we celebrate and equalize the game. There were a couple more chances before overtime, but it ended 1-1. A big reason for that is our goalie, Nolan Fulberth. He had a nuts game in goal. There were a couple chances where, I mean, I would have bet my life on the shot going in, but he managed to save us a few times. One in particular, I think it was off a header. They crossed it in. He headed it. It looked like it was going to go post and in, and somehow he made it all the way over to the opposite side post and touched it wide of the goal.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, so he finished four saves on just one goal allowed, and he played all 110 minutes.
Do they do GPAC Players of the Week in the postseason? Or if they do, I guess is too soon after the game to give out awards like that?
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit too soon to give out awards. He also...
He probably deserves it, though, right?
He deserves it. He didn't make a save in the shootout, though. Both of the ones that missed, like, they missed the goal.
I see.
So
okay. He
won't be getting much credit for the shootout, unfortunately.
Yeah. How many total shots was in the shootout do both teams take?
There were, well, that'd be six total.
Six total?
Yep.
For the team, so three each?
Six for each team.
Six
sorry.
For each team?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we scored our first four. Then they went goal, goal, miss, goal. So we were up. Basically, you get five shots each team. And then if it's still tied after that,
if it's
you
necessary,
go to sudden death.
I see.
So we had the chance to win it, but then we missed.
Okay.
So then they went again to tie it, and they scored. So after five, it was tied 4-1. And then Spencer Kaufman stepped up for us. He scored the first sudden death penalty.
Okay.
And then on their first sudden death penalty, Nolan guessed the right way, but the guy shot it over the goal.
Okay.
Oh, so game over
after that. A miss is a miss. We'll take it.
A miss is a miss. We ended up winning the game off of that. And, yeah, pretty hyped to get
the
win
in
that situation.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, we had pretty much the whole women's soccer team was there, which was really cool.
Yeah,
a lot of the tennis team was there. And pretty much all the students who were there went over basically as close as they could on the, you know, in the stands to where the penalties were being taken, and they were shouting and hollering during Briarcliff's pens.
Hey, good for them, good for them.
Yeah, I think they probably helped us out a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah, we're moving on to the semifinals after, you know, crashing out a bit early last year.
Yep.
I was a bit worried that was going to happen again, but thankfully we did get over the first round hurdle. And moving on to the second round, you mentioned volleyball is playing at 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
We will be right after that at 7.
Still at home, right?
Still at home
still
against
at home.
Northwestern.
Oh, there you go.
So they were, I believe, our first GPAC opponent. We ended up beating them 1-0.
Okay.
They're a solid team, though. They gave us some problems last game, but I think we're definitely excited to get to play them again. They're a team we think we can beat. Obviously not taking anything away from them because they are a really good team. They just beat Dort 5-1
in
their first round, so they're...
Yeah.
They got some momentum behind them.
They're feeling good.
They are feeling good. We're feeling good too, though. So it'll definitely be a good matchup. Make sure y'all come out to watch.
Yeah, please support. Please support.
Speaking of a good matchup that's coming up.
Yep.
We have got football.
Football.
Against Midland.
Football, yeah. It's going to be, so bye week this week. And then we'll talk about that, how it affects our momentum and stuff like that. But we had our last home game of the season. And it was senior day against Hastings this past Saturday. It was a 42-6 win, and that moves us to 7-2 on the regular season. We are now third in the GPAC for the first time this season, so we're not fourth. And for also the first time this season, and for the first time since November of 2017, we broke into the top 25 NAIA national rankings. We're sitting pretty at number 23. That was after 4 or 5 weeks of knocking on the door, so this just felt like a long time coming, and glad it finally came. Much deserved to this team. So just talking about the win real quick. 42-6, it seems like it was a, it seems like it'd be a, you know, your typical blowout, but it wasn't. We had 5 turnovers on offense. So, yeah, as a member of the Concordia Bulldog offense, I would like to humbly, hat in hand, thank the Concordia Bulldog defense, because they've been playing lights out recently. They've been really good. The only 6 points that Hastings scored was when we fumbled the ball on the 5 or 10 yard line and they get it with the short field. They end up barely like getting into the end zone, right? And then they missed the field goal. So that was their one score of the day. Defense, it was tight. It was really tight. At one point in the first half, we were 7-6. And, you know, you thought we were going to go into the locker room with maybe a 1 point or just a one score advantage. But things were able to start clicking in the second half. One of the big things that started clicking, and one of the reasons why he got his second offensive GPAC player of the week, his second in 2 weeks, or in second in 3 weeks, rather, was Austin Jablonski. 8 catches for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's just the size and the speed couldn't really be stopped. Hastings didn't really have a good answer for anything in the passing game. Hastings being the worst passing defense in the GPAC didn't help, but it certainly played into it. DJ threw for 326 yards, 4 touchdowns, so a good game yardage-wise. You're airing the ball out. Probably one of our best passing games. We take a lot of pride in offense in being able to run the ball out of 10 personnel, no tight ends, maybe 11 personnel, you know, one tight end in there. But this was one of the few games, and I think just because of what their defense was giving us from, you know, like obviously you mentioned the stats, worst passing defense in the GPAC. This was one of our better games from a drop back perspective. You able to get sit back there, give DJ some time to throw. On the defensive line, number 97 for Hastings, he apparently is the, I don't know if he still is, but he was the sack king coming into the game. He had the most sacks in the GPAC. He had like 12 or something like that. He didn't have a sack all game. Nice. So shout out to the offensive line. And man, that felt good because he was chirping, man. He was
shout out to yourself there.
Shout out to myself. Yeah, it was me and Schlegel had the pleasure of dealing with him. He had a mouth on him.
Oh, I'm sure. But you know what they say about Cohen Carpenter? He might be undersized, but he's savvy.
Savviness wins over undersized every time. So a good game, a really good game, a good win. It's the kind of blowouts that you needed, I think, because we were talking about as this shapes up for the playoffs. You need blowouts as the season winds down. So, just looking forward a bit, you have this week is our second bye week. Very odd to have 2 bye weeks in the season. It feels odd. But after this, we have our last game of the season. That'll be at Midland Saturday at 1 o'clock. We are ranked 23rd currently nationally. We receive 56 votes. We're 1 vote behind the 22nd spot. A really, really a decent amount of votes. Something that we neglected to talk about a few weeks ago was when the ARC rankings were released by the NAIA on October 24th. It's because I didn't really understand what they were. I've looked into it, asked a few coaches, listened to a few podcasts. So the ARC rankings, and this is something that's really a product of the NAIA. So you think that the NAIA, especially as compared to Division II, or especially Division I, but even a Division II school, is a lot of the time they don't have, you know, the funding or the time, because when you're making the national rankings, it's comprised completely of, you know, like athletic directors, coaches, people who are involved in their own football program. So, you know, you're not going to have, you know, Coach Patrick Dabick out. He's not a ranker, but you're not going to have him sit down and he just gets done coaching a game Saturday and then he has to go home and watch, you know, some game on the Pacific Coast where they're playing at like 9 p.m. You know, he's going to go home and be with his family. So one of the reasons why they have these ARC rankings is they break it down for people to just watch teams that are in their area. So our ARC out of the 4 of them is, and you don't know who the ARC rankings is. You could find it if you did some digging, but they kind of remain semi-anonymous. We're in ARC 3, and this was consists of the Great Plains Athletic Conference and Mid-States Football Association. So just 2 conferences. And really what this is, it is a collection of teams that this specific coach thinks should be in the playoff or should be competitive for the playoffs. And this will be something that the coaches and the presidents, AADs, the playoff committee will look at when it's time to talk about what teams should be in the playoff. They'll look at the national rankings, they'll look at the ARC rankings, they'll look at head-to-head records, and then they'll go game by game. So, you know, they'll break down our Northwestern game, and they'll give us credit for this, and they'll take away credit for that. It's very specific. In this ARC ranking, we were ranked 7th, but based on the number 6 team, Marion, and the number 5 team, St. Francis, they've lost a few games. We'll probably move up a few spots in the ARC ranking, and this just makes us more competitive in terms of when they're having that conversation after the final regular season game of the season. It makes us look a lot better the higher we are in the ARC rankings.
Yeah, and so you said you're 7th. That is an R ARC, right?
That's
so
an R ARC.
ARC 3, we're ranked 7th.
Yeah. And okay. that because again, the guy who does this ARC is must, you know, a coach or something like that from the GPAC, and these are the schools that he pays attention to. So it's a bit more specific than the national rankings where you're having all of the coaches come together, and then you get a coach like you'll have a GPAC coach that has to make a decision based on a Frontier Conference team. Well, they're not watching the Frontier right. Conference games. Like that, they could be playing those on Mars, and it wouldn't make a difference to us because we're so locked in on the GPAC, right? So that's what kind of this ARC alleviates. It's some of that issue. If my prediction is correct and we're above Marion, we're above St. Francis maybe, the top 1 through 3, it'll be Indiana Westland, Dort, Morningside, Northwestern, and then us. The next ARC ranking, I don't know why, but they only released 2 throughout the regular season. The next ARC ranking is going to be released November 14th. And that's when we'll have a more definitive answer on where we stand in terms of that ARC ranking. Again, the higher the better. And I say all of that to say we need Dort to win Saturday. So if, you know, before you go to the volleyball game and the soccer game Saturday at 1 p.m., Dort plays Northwestern. It'll be at Dort. And our best shot of having a playoff berth, bar none, is for Northwestern to lose to Dort. Because that would put them at 3 conference losses on the year, mm-hmm. one of which being to us. A head-to-head loss, that's huge.
Yep.
And that makes it would make it very hard for a playoff committee. Because obviously Northwestern has the reputation, the national championship. They've been in the playoffs X amount of years in a row. It would make it very hard for a playoff committee to balance that reputation, but also here's a 7-3 team at Northwestern who lost to Dort, Morningside, and Concordia versus Concordia, who's 8-2 and only lost to Dort and Morningside.
And beat Northwestern. So what you're saying is we need all the Bulldog supporters to go out to Sioux Center, Iowa, and start chirping at Northwestern.
Start chirping at Northwestern. Yeah, we're all Dort defenders this weekend. You know, if they're able to pull
except
it off.
Except for tonight in the women's soccer
except,
game.
Yeah, we're the Concordia fan base is very complicated in our allegiances yep. right now. But for Saturday at 1 p.m., we're going to be Dort defender fans. That's the best. It's not impossible. It is not impossible if Northwestern ends up pulling out the win, because at the end of the day, it goes on a conversation in the Sunday after the last game of the season. I believe that'll be November 17th. It's going to be a conversation in a room with a bunch of guys, and they're going to sit down and they're going to go record by record, game by game of the top 25 teams in the country, narrow that down to the top 20 teams in the country, and then narrow that down to the 7 at-large bids that will make the playoffs. And then it looks a lot better. It makes our argument a lot easier if Dort gets that win.
Definitely. But
Saturday.
All of this is contingent. Got to beat Midland.
Of course.
Preferably beat them big.
Of course. Preferably beat them big, because that was one of the big hangups with the Mount Marty win. Because they, at least from everything that I've looked at, and there's a really good podcast called the Victory Sports Network, if you're interested. It's on YouTube. And they do a weekly podcast, and they just interviewed one of the guys that actually is part of the process of the selection committee. And it's very in-depth, so you would really like to blow out Midland, because with that Mount Marty game, they're going to look at the schedule, and it's not just a win-loss, head-to-head record thing. They're going to go game by game, and they're going to see, well, hey, Mount Marty's 3-4 on the season, or at least they were 3-4 at the time they were playing Concordia. Why was this game so close? And they're going to break it down. They're going to get into the nuances. They're going to say, oh, there's a turnover there, or oh, there's – like, I don't – they're trying. It's very, very in-depth, very in-depth. So, yeah. Big game against Midland, big game that we're watching is Dort Northwestern, and that those will be market calendars, because that's the exciting stuff.
Yeah, definitely. But as you know, these seasons are coming to the close. We're talking about postseason, you know, postseason records, postseason, yep, what's going to happen, yep, which we don't know. We got some sports starting anew now.
Yep, basketball just had their Cattle Classic.
Yeah, so we're gonna get going with the men's side. I'll take the men's side, you'll take the women's side.
Yes, sir.
And we'll kind of break down these first two games. So the men, they ended up going 2-0 in the Cattle Classic, playing some good opposition.
Preseason ranked 10, right?
Preseason 11.
We're 11?
So, yeah. So there was definitely some talk going into that, like, didn't make it incredibly far last season. How were they ranked 11th this season? Well, I think they proved, especially in the second game, why they are ranked so highly. One interesting thing from their season opener, they started the same five they finished with last year.
Oh, yeah, that's always a good sign.
So they didn't lose any starting players coming into this year, which is probably a reason they're ranked so highly in the preseason polls, just because they kept so much of their lineup, and they have a relatively young squad coming off the bench. But their first match was against a Division III side. Both games were actually against Division III sides, but the first one is against Central College Dutch. And this game was pretty tight in the first half. I believe it was only 1 point separating them at halftime. But then they went on to kind of blow them out 86-69. A big issue for our guys was Central College's big man, All-American Joshua Van Gorp. He ended up finishing with 33 points and 15 rebounds.
Yeah. Van Gorp, huh?
Van Gorp, yep.
Van Gorp.
Very Dutch name for the Central College Dutch.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Maybe a theme there.
That checks out.
Definitely. But we were struggling to contain him a little bit. So it explains why he got, you know, 33 points. We also struggled a little bit shooting in the first half. We were only 2 for 13 from 3, and then we were 43% from 2-pointers. But then we ended up getting 9 out of 15 3-pointers in the second half, and then we shot 51.5% in the second, so that's obviously a big swing. One of the reasons we ended up pulling away in the second half. Noah Schutt and Tristan Smith, once again, were some of the stars from the game. Smith got his first big dunk of the season.
There we go. Didn't take him long.
He got one real nice dunk, and then probably the biggest one was he had a really nice putback dunk. It was like a shot, was bouncing up, and then just over this other guy's back, just smacked it down on him.
Yeah,
it was nuts. But then Schutt also had a very nice game. And yeah. Smith, he ended up finishing with 18 points on the game. So obviously not as much as Van Gorp had, but we usually spread our points out a little bit more than maybe other teams do. But really nice to get that win in the first game of the season. Then moving on to old GPAC foes, Nebraska Wesleyan.
Oh, there you go.
Who now are obviously a Division III side. But we ended up getting a pretty solid win against them as well, 74-57.
Yeah, that is solid.
Nebraska Wesleyan was ranked 14th in the preseason Division III polls, so you maybe wouldn't have expected them to get beat by so much, but ended up getting a nice win there. A pretty even score again, though, at halftime, 36-35 in favor of Concordia. But then we were able to play some really good defense, especially in the second half. The Prairie Wolves of Nebraska Wesleyan went 0-17 from 3 in the second half.
That's not winning basketball.
Definitely not. So not probably good. Just some bad shooting in general, but you also think we're putting some pretty good defense on them, making them take some bad shots. There were lots of plays where they were running right down to the end of the shot clock and having to chuck up threes from maybe 5-10 feet behind the line.
That's a good sign.
Definitely. And their two-point shooting also was just not very good. But once again, Schutt and Smith were standouts in the game. Schutt had a team-high 16 points, and then Smith was pretty close behind him with 12. Smith led the team in rebounds with 8, and then he got 3 blocks and 3 steals. He had like a 2-minute span where he got 2 big blocks. There was one they were shooting like a mid-range shot, and everyone's like, oh, he's shooting a mid-range. Like, it's probably going to go in. And out of nowhere, Smith just comes flying in and smacks it into the ground.
Oh, you love to see it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
We went crazy after that one. So that was one of the I guess, defining moments of that game. You get to see Smith's athleticism a little bit. That guy's vert has to be at least, like, 45 inches.
Yeah, I mean, on top of how tall he already is.
I think he's 6'5". Yeah. But, yeah, just really solid performance overall from them. Great to see them shining in their first couple games. And then they ended up, I guess you could say they won the Cattle Classic. There's not, like, a final, but they won both their games.
Yeah, we'll give it to them.
Yeah, and then Noah Shutt and Tristan Smith were honored with All Cattle Classic, I guess the All Cattle Classic team. So they just picked the five best players from the tournament and give them a little plaque, and Shutt and Smith were both on that.
Yeah.
Next game will be another home game, Friedrich Arena. It'll be against Bethel College on Saturday at 1. So we got a lot of action coming up Saturday. A
lot of action.
So while you're watching the men's basketball game, you can be keeping up with the updates from the Dort Northwestern game.
Of course, you're going to have that live stream going.
And then you can stick around to watch volleyball play after that.
Yep.
And then head outside for the soccer game right after that. A full day of action for all Bulldog supporters.
There you go. We've scheduled your Saturday for you.
Yep, you're welcome. Don't even have to think about it.
Don't even have to think about it.
But as we're wrapping up with men's basketball, why don't you tell us a little bit about the women?
Women Cattle Classic as well. They played Friday, Saturday, November 1st, November 2nd. They ended up splitting it, so a little worse luck than the men. Their first game against the Oklahoma City University Stars, they ended up winning 78-64. This is a game every girl that saw the court in this game scored. So it was one of those games. We got out to an early lead. I think the number was, we started off, it was a 9-0 run, and then we never conceded the lead after that point. Really good stuff.
I think it was 24-9 after the first quarter.
Yeah. So obviously that's one of those games where it's really good that you can get some of your bench in, see some of the youth that you have, get them game minutes, which is really good,
for sure,
especially early on in the season. Weren't so good against Southern Oregon University. Now, it's kind of the inverse, where we got down big, Southern Oregon University, down by 10 points at one point in the fourth quarter, able to mount a pretty substantial comeback, and ended up only losing 71-68. Now, in the preseason, Concordia came in ranked fifth. Southern Oregon University was in the top 10, so that's a big matchup. Two top 10 schools clashing. They were just able to squeak out the win, a 3-point win. Good for them. But I mean, this is a roster, when you go down, you look at the stat sheet, there's a lot of turnover.
Definitely.
from last season. You have, you know, the big names like Tayshia Rushton and Mackenzie Toomey, they're gone, and they're being filled in with a lot of familiar faces in unfamiliar roles. So I think one of the big storylines this season, at least for me, just looking at it early on, is how can you fill the Tayshia Rushton hole,
right?
Especially in the offense. And early on, it did look like a lot of that load was going on the back of Kendall Brigham.
Yep.
And I think she had a lot of great flashes last year. She was coming off, she was usually the first girl off the bench, rotating in as a sixth man, had a few really good games, and it was really not, she wasn't very up and down. It was just super consistent play. Every time she'd come off the bench and put in, she'd give you good minutes consistently. So as you see her minutes tick up throughout this season, it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, if her game changes the same, if she's able to remain so consistent.
And I think her game also is going to change a little bit this year, just the role she's given. Because you mentioned she was coming off the bench a lot. Her work rate is one of the best you'll ever see on a basketball court.
Yes.
Last year, she was just a workhorse out there. She got lots of steals, forced lots of turnovers.
Yep.
Obviously scored some points herself as well, but was dishing out assists to her teammates. This season, it looks similar. Like, her work rate is still insane. She's getting steals, she's getting assists, but in the games, I watched both of those first two games, she was kind of the main player for the Bulldogs. In that game against Southern Oregon, the one they lost, in the last 2 minutes, it was try to get Kendall the ball.
Yeah, which is where she needs to be.
She had some big points to get the game close. We were, you know, within one score, and that was largely due to Kendall. She hit a three-pointer late on and then had two nice mid-range shots to bring the score pretty close.
Yeah, I think in that Southern Oregon game, she finished with like 18, 20 points. So she was up there in the scoring column. And that's really, it's Tayshia Rushton, make no doubt about it, was the facilitator on this team last year. Kendall Brigham has a wonderful opportunity to step up because there's still a lot of talent on this squad. I think that was one of the more underrated aspects of last year's squad was just how deep our bench was. And for a lot of teams, our bench, you could have trotted them out there as the starting five, and you could have put together a few good basketball games. You put together a good season with that starting five. And now that a lot of those girls are in the starting five, it's going to be interesting to see how that shapes out. We talk about Kendall Brigham. I think the two Abbeys are going to have big roles this season. Abby Crazier, Abby Heemstra. Again, rotational pieces last year that are going to probably see more consistent minutes this year. And it's just going to be exciting to keep your eyes on. Another part of the exciting that like really was an exciting game was you had Concordia going to UNC, not North Carolina. They went to the University of Northern Colorado. I think in football they're an FCS school. But either way, a Division I team. And this is an away game, big arena, huge moment, huge light, exhibition game, so it doesn't count on the record. And you're able to play them close. You only lose by two. Only lose by two to a division.
We were up by at certain points
as
well.
We were up throughout the game. It was just like any other game in the NAI, and just to see them be that competitive with a school that has so much more funding and resources and people on the payroll and nutrition and all that stuff. I mean, that's really a good sign to see. But, you know, early on, still trying to find the identity of this team, and it's looking good. It's looking good. The next test will come November 9th at 4 p.m. They're going to be playing Dakota State University, and that'll be in Madison, South Dakota. So a good non-conference matchup for them to get their feet under them, to get their team identity really solidified, and to get rolling. And then immediately after that, you're going to be playing Morningside, so conference already starting. You only get a few games, and November 16th, you're playing Morningside. That'll be in Frederick Arena. So it's coming at you quick.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find the identity of the team, and I've supremely confident that that's exactly
what's
going to happen.
And they should be looking for that identity before this game against Dakota State University, because they are the sixth-ranked team in the NAIA.
So big
we're
one.
The five, they're the six.
So,
they were actually here at the Cattle Classic. We didn't end up playing them.
They played other teams.
But
we'll
get a shot at them.
So, man, really tough draw to start the season. You have a top-10 opponent in Southern Oregon. Then you go on the road to play a Division I school, and then you play number six at their place to start the season.
So definitely some good prep for the GPAC season, though. Think after playing all those, the GPAC might look a little easy.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Don't goalies sometimes, they train with tennis balls you throwing at them. Hopefully it has some sort of that effect.
Yeah, I think didn't Jordan say it? I make my practice so hard so that the games feel easy. It's kind
of
your
one heck of a practice.
Your warm up, your preseason basically is so hard that the GPAC might feel a little too easy after this one.
Yeah, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but yeah, I think this is a tough schedule.
Tough schedule, but a tough
team. We're a really good team. Again, number five team.
Yeah, there's a reason for that as well.
There's a reason that we're the number five team in the nation. It's going to be an exciting season. We're talking about seasons coming to a start, some seasons coming to an end. Cross country, did they just have their GPAC conference whatevers?
Yeah, so they haven't had a meet since October 26th. They've been gearing up for the GPAC championships, however. That is going to also take place on Saturday.
Man,
so if you wanna,
busy.
It's actually within range that you could reasonably go watch them as well.
Wow.
So it's going to be in Ashland, Nebraska. So I think that's like 40 minutes away from here.
That's their closest meet this season, right?
Yeah, except the last one was also at the same place.
Okay.
So they have some experience on the course. It's going to be at Mahoney State Park at 10:45 a.m. So they won't be having to leave too early for this one, thankfully. And yeah, looking to see what our guys and gals can do. I'm really excited to see what Vaughn Hendrickson and especially Trey Robertson can do. They've been outstanding all season.
Yep.
They've been consistently within like a second or two of each other. So it'll be exciting to see if one of them maybe pulls away or if they continue finishing very close to each other, preferably in the top five as they've been doing.
Yeah, well, one thing's for sure, we'll get you those results as soon as we have them. Looking for a strong finish to the season. What's been a pretty good season for the cross country guys.
Definitely looking forward to them potentially getting some hardware at the GPAC championships and then moving on to see who can qualify for that national.
Moving
meet.
On to nationals. Yep. But on that note, that'll be all for this episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CUNE Sower website and on Spotify. From Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Ulbrich and everybody at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs.